Do you remember Promise Keepers?
No. What's a promise keeper? Like, oh, either, I mean, I, like, a person who keeps a promise, but, like, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
It was, like, this thing in the 90s and the early 2000s that was, like, through, I think that it was through, like, Focus on the Family, James Dobson, who we sometimes talk
about.
Oh, Dr.
James Dobson, just, like, advocating for people to never have sex. Carry on. Mm-hmm.
So, like, there was a branch that was, like, for men of, like, whatever Dobson did. And so
advocate for celibacy.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. And so there were, like, these men's meetups, like, all around the country.
Okay.
That were called Promise Keepers meetings, and it was, like, a weekend retreat.
Wait. Are these, like, these are meetings for, like, the dudes who are, like, protecting their daughter's virginity? Is this them?
I don't know how much.
Oh, okay.
That, I mean, maybe that's part of it. I've obviously never been to a Promise Keepers meeting because I'm a female, and it was for married men, and it was about, like, being, like, a husband and a father.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, so that's kind of, I mean,
I think
I'm
it's
not
a nice
in line
sentiment.
With Doc. Yeah, I was gonna say I'm not in line with Dr. James Dobson. Welcome to the program. I'm not in line with his thought philosophies or beliefs per se, but I mean, that sounds like a space that doesn't exist for
I agree
people. That's
for
kind
men
of cool.
No, it is,
yeah,
really
for
cool
men
to, like,
yeah,
support men, like, in, like, an emotional way. And my dad used to go to them when I was little, and aww, again, I've never been to one. I don't know how, like, weirdly religious they are. Like, it might be really weird, but it seemed like my dad got a lot out of it. So, like, cool. It's just about, like, I think being, like, accountable as, like, a man in your family, whatever that means.
Okay, I take back how much I was, like, making it shitty. That sounds pleasant.
I mean, it's, like, highly, highly gendered. But, like, other than that, like, great. And that's, I mean, some people are perfectly comfortable in their gender and got a lot out of it.
Well, okay, I mean, that's fair.
In their gender role. Sorry, there we go.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. I totally hear what you're saying. Yeah, because that shit makes me feel weird when it's like, you're the man of the family. Yeah, that's weird.
So for people who, like, were into that lifestyle, I think it was, like, a really nice way for men to, like, speak, like, emotionally and, like, vulnerably with other men.
That's pleasant.
It is pleasant.
I like this. It makes me think of the episode of Queer Eye. I don't remember if it was season one or season two, where they, like, help this dad hang out with a bunch of other dads that they have kids similar ages. And it's, I'm like, yeah. I was like, dads need dad friends. It was
cute.
They
do. Dads do need dad friends.
Listen, thugs need love. We've said it before. We'll say it again. Okay. Thugs need love.
Also,
welcome to Why Are You Like This? Cool. And so we could say you're a numerologist, if you will. And that's addiction.
A like 4x dick. Like, it's like four times as large as usual.
Like, how does your navel get like that?
Right.
That's disgusting.
How, though?
I wouldn't want to live in Amish country permanently, but I would visit as a booty call.
I was so distracted by the sexy mystery. Fuck.
It's totally fine. I said sexy mystery, and you were like, this one time?
Please enjoy the music while your party is reached. I'm going to peak in high school and then die.
Welcome.
Home of two thugs who need love. And Why Are You Like This is the weekly podcast where we wax and wane poetically on why people are the way that they are, be it through human behavior, pseudoscience, and the like, sometimes under a cloud of sage, preferably. And that's Jamie Ryan in Cincinnati, giggling.
And that's Austin Williams in Chicago. Thank you for always doing the intro.
You know,
I fuck it up every time I try to do it.
Well, you really were the intro leader, I think, from the early jump, because I was afraid to say my own name, and
That's
yeah.
right. We, that's
but
why
now
we
I'm very comfortable.
Other,
it's why, because I was so like, I can't do this. I can't say my own
we
name
did
into a
so
microphone.
Hours of
weird.
Takes. Hours of takes trying to get through that first intro.
Not hours, but like too long. Definitely too long. It was the hardest part for me at the beginning. And now I'm like, I can't shut up. So cute. How cute. Listen, I'm just comfortable talking into the void now. Some of you are listening. Some of you aren't. It's great. It's chill. It's fine. Cool. So that said.
Yeah. So speaking into a void, what are you going to yeah. speak to that void tonight?
Yeah. The void. So I want to introduce this from the jump saying, when I started looking into what I wanted to talk about tonight, this morning, this afternoon, whenever you're listening to us, I originally had it in my mind as friends of necessity.
Mm-hmm.
When I started digging in on the internet, what I found this being referred to was friends of convenience, or even broken down on Urban Dictionary as an FOC.
Whoa.
Right.
So common, that gets an acronym?
That's the correct term, yes, okay. Acronym. You're so welcome. So, yes, so common gets an acronym. And as someone who's obsessed with syntax, I've said it on here before, and I'll say it again.
It matters.
Just always, it matters, and I'm always intrigued by word choice. And then it made me kind of get inside my own psyche because I was like, well, I said out of necessity.
Mm.
And necessity is really different than convenience. Like,
yeah.
Those words don't mean the same thing.
No, they don't.
So I want to break down just in general what I mean when I say friend of necessity and or friend of convenience.
Mm-hmm.
I think predominantly we'll call it friend of convenience here on out because that's what the other kids seem to be saying these days.
Sure.
That said, I want to throw this down there because I'd like your opinion on the difference between necessity and convenience in this situation.
Yeah, let's break it down.
Yeah, so what makes someone or yourself an FOC, a friend of convenience? And so these are people in your life in a friendship role who you are friends with because it's convenient,
yeah.
Almost in a they're there kind of way. Mm-hmm. And I tried to break that down in terms of what was convenient about a friend of convenience, like get in there a little bit more. And the things that seem top of mind for me is that there's some consistency.
Yeah, you
that they're present.
Them. Exactly.
Right. That they're present, and then that their input is not necessarily valued.
Oh, yeah. Huh. I hadn't thought about that, but as I'm, like, trying to think through any, like, friends of convenience situations I've had through the years, we've all had many.
And we're definitely going to get into them.
Yeah. Oh, that's so true. Sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. So that said, when I started, I was like, yeah, you know, friends of necessity, because for me, I was like, friends that I made because I needed friends, and they were the folks who happened to be around at that stage in my life or that given time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, yeah, well, I became friends with them because I needed them. I needed someone, and they were who was there.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that is convenient, but convenient doesn't... we kind of negate the word need when we talk about convenience.
Yes. And in my head, like when thinking about a friend of necessity, like what does that conjure up? I think about like people who I sort of like they're acquaintances or they're like friends of friends. And like maybe you would only call upon them when you like really need something. Like when I lived in California, I got like my car battery died one time. And there was, like, an older man who I knew from a job that I had. And, like, we had, like, a good working relationship. And, like, he was cool. Mm-hmm. But, like, we weren't friends. He was, like, 65.
Yeah, you weren't going out and having, like, dinner together.
No. But he came and helped me change my car battery. And then a few times...
That's so nice.
So nice. And then a few times after that did like little things or like brought me like little tools that like he knew I needed at my apartment.
Wow.
And then I used them and gave them back.
A generous spirit.
Yeah, that was great. And so like we were probably like I saw him and like talked to him more like in work situations because he was like so helpful to me and like we had a positive relationship, but like he also was kind of like a friend of necessity for me. Like I needed like someone who knew how to do some of that shit that I would have like asked my grandpa to help me with or asked my dad if I was at home.
Exactly. I was going to say what about that really strikes me is you were living in a place where you had much smaller friendship ties and no family ties.
Correct.
So... You do, and as a single person too, you do need sometimes to find those people you can rely on. So there is
can't do everything by yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. But do you think of that more of someone who helped facilitate meeting your needs than you think of him as a friend of convenience perhaps? Or what are your thoughts on that?
Yes, I would see a friend of convenience more as like someone who like you see at work or who like is a neighbor or maybe like your kids go to preschool together and you have like really okay. compatible schedules. So like maybe you always go to lunch after you drop your kids off because you can. You both have free time then. You like each other enough and it's just super convenient. Like that's what I would think of as a friend of convenience rather than like I wasn't like going to lunch with this guy like and it wasn't like convenient for us to like be friends but I needed him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I guess maybe that is kind of the difference between what I went into calling this mm-hmm. versus what I actually think I'm talking about, because what I want to talk about truly is friends of convenience. But I thought the word choice was interesting and it made me contemplate my own motives a little bit because I was like, what do I mean necessity of a friend, huh?
Yeah.
But I thought I would tell you a little bit about, I think for me, I have three distinct times in my life that I really feel like friends of convenience were the major players mm-hmm. and where my friend circle was. And then I'd be really interested to hear what times in your life you relied on friends of convenience, or maybe you felt like that was your entire social circle at a yeah. period of time.
Yeah. Hmm.
So the three most major times, and I'm not saying I haven't ever had friends of convenience outside of this, was absolutely I have. I think most people have. Mm-hmm. But the three big times in my life that I can think of that friends of convenience were the main players were all times of transition and starting over.
Oh, yeah.
And so for me, the first one of those was high school. Mm-hmm. So I went to public high school with you.
Yep.
I went to a public grade school, middle school with you. And so I went there through eighth grade and then I went to a private high school. And so when I started high school, I didn't have friends at my high school. I didn't know people. I didn't have strong interpersonal connections. I hadn't gone to eighth grade with pretty much anyone I went to high school with. Mm-hmm. So for me at that point in time, my sister is 4 years older than me. She went to the same high school. And my friends of convenience were the younger sisters, all girls school, of people my sister was friends with in high school.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like, okay, we have this connection. Our moms already know each other. So that's easy. Nobody's vetting anything because I can go, oh, hey, mom, I'm going over to like this person's house. And my mom's like, cool, your sister's been to that house 87 times. Like, right. No stress. I know where it is. All of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that was convenient. But I will say, when I graduated, the people that I started off kind of forming that circle with early on, because I was piggybacking off my sister's relationships,
mm-hmm.
Were not people that I ended high school being close to. Nobody that I had bad blood with, nothing that ended in fighting or negative things. But I just think I found people who are more in my tribe. And I also think I watched those people find their people too.
Yeah, because
we were all kind of piggybacking off each other.
Yeah.
So that was probably the first big one. So I'm like, okay, I piggybacked off relationships that I felt like I already had an in on that were convenient. Some of our younger sisters.
Social pivots.
Exactly. Social pivot. Some of those younger sisters I had already met, and I had certainly met their older sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, you walk in with familiarity. It's like if you know someone from your high school who's like in a college class that you have, like even if you weren't great friends, like you'll either sit right next to them and like talk a little, or you'll fully avoid them. But if you sit by them, it's because it's convenient.
Well, you are taking me exactly where I want you to on the exact wavelength that I want you to. Because the next time that I felt like I went for friends of convenience was college.
Yeah, and orientation is a weird time.
Oh my God, orientation.
Getting broken into that group. Oh,
did you
get a small group in orientation of like 12 people?
I think I had smaller groups for some things. And then, you know, we ebbed and flowed from small to large. And I feel like I try to block orientation out because you're just so freaked out. Like,
and then when you see those people later, it's so weird.
Then you're like, oh, there's that person I like talked to for 20 minutes, but was like definitely not going to be friends with. Well, so for me, coming from Cincinnati and then going to school in Indiana, there were some people, because those places aren't far apart, mm-hmm. there were like some people from Cincinnati that went there. There were, I think, maybe like 5 girls in my year from my high school that went to my college, mm-hmm. but none of them were people I was friends with, like closely. Nobody I hung out with outside of school, people I saw in school,
friends.
And was cool with. Yeah, but I really had this strong desire to do one of like the latter, I guess, of what you described, in that I went, oh, I'm not hanging out with people from Cincinnati. Like, that's mm-hmm. not how I'm going to make friends in college. And I remember thinking a lot of the people I knew from Cincinnati who went to Indiana for school ended up then finding other people from Cincinnati who went to either they went to high school with, or they were in the grapevine of, you know, private Catholic schools that I did for high school.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They had this connection and they all kind of found each other and were a tribe. And I was like, I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And a big part of that, I think, too, on my end of things, is a lot of those people went into Greek life and I did not rush or anything. It's not my scene.
Yes.
So
yes.
No shade thrown to all you Delta Gammas and whoever you are. I already felt like I had been in a sorority for 4 years. I went to a private Catholic all-girls school. Anyway.
That's a really good point.
Whenever people were like, are you going to rush? I was like, I kind of feel like I'm already in a sorority. Like, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you, though. That said, I think my friends of necessity, excuse me, convenience,
yeah,
I guess.
Watch it.
My friends of convenience in college were people that were in my dorm.
Yeah.
It was friends of convenience in that they were on my floor, not everybody, but a fair amount of girls I felt like I got on with. And then there were 2 that lived on my floor that I felt like I really clicked with initially. Mm. And we hung out a bunch freshman year and then a little bit sophomore year and then like never again.
Yeah. No, I had a few of those in college too. And like I watched some of the people in my orientation like click with each other and then like switch to like be roommates. Then it was funny because like some of them
like they were signed up for random roommates and then they were like, oh, we should request each other because I like you.
Correct.
Got it.
Which
I remember that happening too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there were a few people that like found each other at orientation, but like that's a really short window to get to know someone and you're like really hungry for a friend of convenience, if you will.
To go in and feel like you have some kind of connection with someone, anyone,
right.
Help.
Right. And the people who I knew who did that, like lived together freshman year, but then like weren't really friends after that. And it like that makes sense because like everybody's like growing and changing like crazy in college, and like when you come in as like
a wide-eyed years people,
yeah, like 17 or 18 year old, whoever you latch onto at that moment, like probably isn't who you're gonna want to hang out with forever, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
No, that's fair. Although sometimes it happens. I have a couple homies from college who I'm pretty sure are going to be like the weird uncles to my children. And I,
oh yeah,
love
me
it.
Too. Yeah. Well, but, like, Peter, who was on our masculinity episode, he began
right.
as my, college dorm,
neighbor.
Neighbor. he lived in the dorm room right next to me, and we started hanging out all the time. And like, we were friends with his roommates also, but they were friends of convenience who we don't really see anymore. But that's fine because we were
Pete
super
stayed.
Different. But Pete stayed because like we really, really clicked as a long-term friend.
I think that's a really good point because sometimes friends start out as friends of convenience and then there is something more there. And so the friendship carries on, but it does start as most friendships do because at some point you were in the same place or you were doing a similar activity or had a similar hobby or you were on the same forum on the internet, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. You had to have some sort of touch point to meet each other. So there is kind of always going to be that convenience, quote
unless
unquote,
you meet on
meeting
an app
somebody
trying to find friends, then it's like, well, not really.
Yeah, you're right. That isn't convenient necessarily. If you're,
friend,
that's effort
no
filled,
convenience.
Or at least I think it is.
Yeah,
fair, touche.
Or if
but
your
yeah,
friend
I think you, I do
someone.
Think.
Sorry.
Well, you can do that too. You know, I just think you make a good point that things starting out based in convenience doesn't necessarily mean that a real relationship can't come from that and that it can't be somebody you want to spend a shit ton of time with who ultimately develop a meaningful relationship with.
It
so,
can totally.
I mean,
yeah. And
absolutely.
We were both hungry for friends. Like, we were new to college and scared and, like, didn't know a lot of people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think most people, if you do the university thing, can really relate to the panic of trying to find your tribe.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
maybe the people you end up hanging out with initially just because they're there.
Right. Right.
Definitely happens.
We do that in every space, at new jobs, at everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you kind of have to. You don't have to, but I don't know. It does seem the way to go often. And that said, my last third biggin of convenient friends was when I moved to Chicago 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
That's
not a song, but
I mean, it could be. I'm here for it. We'll get a little riverboat, a boom chicka chicka. So that said, when I moved here, I had a really soft landing. I feel very spoiled.
You did,
and fortunate,
yeah. You set it up,
but also,
soft.
Yeah. I mean, super
like
soft.
You did that, but yes,
I manifested that for myself, is what I'll say, because I also want to throw down, yeah, I chose to go somewhere that I already had a big community. But that community was a lot of people from college and people, like a big group of people who I used to work with also when I was in college.
Yes.
And then through them, I got a lot of friends of friends. And some of the friends of friends became people I hung out with independently, which is really cool. But I will say that tribe of people that I kind of infiltrated, if you will, when I got here is not truly who I feel like my tribe is here now.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those people I'm still really good friends with. A lot of them I'm totally not. Mm-hmm. And that is okay, because I think it took me some time and some sussing out that I feel like I've kind of made my own tribe here now, and I have friends
I would agree
that feel, thank you, that feel very much like the relationships are, I don't know if this sounds weird or too sterile, but almost like friendships of my own design rather than just what was here and what was there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I met some people independently or through a friend of a friend. And then there are two girls in my life here in particular that come to mind that I really just feel so close to and so thankful for. But I also take a little bit of pride in that I feel like I made those relationships happen by showing up. But I don't think I would have had the ease to kind of find my people and my tribe and to try some things that would put me in situations to meet those folks or hang out with some, you know, new faces or people I didn't have a friend group connection with, if I didn't already kind of feel like I had a safety net.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like in college.
Very true.
That, yeah, I mean, in college, that convenience friend, it's like you don't all of a sudden say, like, fuck you, I never want to hang out with you again. But then you find somebody, like, somehow at a party, in a class or whatever, and there's that one person, and you're like, oh, like, they're kind of cool. Like, let me hang out with them. And then you start hanging out with them, and then you, and it's just like you slide away from the ones that are convenient because you found one that was worth the hustle.
Exactly. Exactly. Or sometimes your life drawing teacher says, while you're staring at this nude man, I need to pair you off. So join the person at the easel next to you. And sometimes that person is a sweet girl who you don't know named Jessie. And Wayne says,
hi, Jessie. We love you.
Take your partner's hand and draw what you see. And you have to hold Jessie's hand while she holds the pencil and you draw the nude man.
A naked dude.
And then you turn to the person named Jessie and you say, I'm really sorry. I know that was weird. And then you both laugh and you're long-term friends. And then Jessie suggests the Anarchy episode. Anyway.
Oh, Jessie, we love you.
We love you so much.
Oh, that's cute. I love that. Also, I didn't know that meet cute story. And like, fuck, man. This, like, when sometimes when you tell me stories, I'm like, I'm so glad I didn't go to art school. I just can't.
That same art, that same drawing studio had bed bugs one time. I'll tell that story another day.
Oh, that's a whole nother episode. The bed bug episode. What an epidemic.
It's like a nice art school too.
Listen, Jamie went to a fucking great art school, academically rigorous and hailed by many folks, but
dirty as fuck,
full
man.
Of weirdos. Yeah. Full of weirdos.
Okay.
I don't want to hold anyone's hand while I draw a nude man. Anyway, unless I'm holding his hand and it's like very sexual. Okay. Oh. So I can take you there, Sean Kingston. That said, so I feel like we vibe on college friends of convenience. We both definitely have stories about this. Do you have other times in your life, like my high school and my move story, that you felt in a convenience hole of friendship?
Yeah, for sure. When I moved to California, which I talk about sometimes periodically on here, I had a few friends, but I felt like I didn't want to lean on them too hard socially. So, like, I did become friends with a handful of their friends, which was dope, and I'm still friends with them, and it's great. But I felt like I wanted to try to, like, on my own, like, make some friends. Try to be like a little.
I think that's how we ultimately really find our own tribe. Like I said, the people I feel the closest to in Chicago, I feel like those relationships were things I fostered outside of my safety net.
Yeah, yeah. But what I did find was like a lot of like friends of convenience that way. And like LA is its own thing as far as like people trying to be friends with other people who are doing like an entertainment hustle, like.
There could be that networking, what can you give me?
Exactly. Kind of vibe. So, like, everything has, like, a degree of insincerity about it. So, like, that was really tough. But I ended up at first when I moved there, like really enjoying my time with my friends that I had already known before I moved there. But then also, like, spending quite a bit of time with, like, some of my bandmates, who were people who, like, I just, like, really didn't like. And, like, we were, like, crazy different and, like...
Give a little bit of backstory, though, on, like, the band that you were in at the time in LA, because it's very different from other bands that you've been in.
Yes. So, like, I, got, like, a callback for an audition for, like, this girl group that was, like, a label project.
Right. So own that this isn't, like, the other times that you had friends and then you were like, we should make music together.
Yes. Yeah, I did not different experience. Know. I did not know my bandmates before we were, like, working together. So, like, this is essentially, like, a coworker's situation.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe.
Yeah, yeah. And I was only doing it because I was getting paid, and that's why they were doing it, too. None of us, like, actually cared about the project. And, like, that's its own problem. But,
Fair.
Yeah. Anyway, like, a couple of them were, like, interesting girls. Like, one of them was like from Ethiopia and had come to America on a music scholarship, and like she seemed like a really cool person, but just like personality wise we could never like find a conversation flow, you know, and like just something about like the way your brain works and someone else's brain, you just can't like toss back and forth with each other.
Yeah, and then sometimes you toss back and forth too well with someone and other people find it insufferable. There
are
strong poles on either end. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, like, we hung out sometimes, but, like, and, like, I admired her, and if I, like, saw her as a character on a TV show, like, I would not dislike her at all, but just, like, she's not who I would have chosen to spend time with because we didn't have, like, mental compatibility.
Okay, that's real.
Yeah, we just, like, also, I think outside of music, we're really interested in different things. Okay. And same goes like
from, lack of common interest. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like lack of common interest. Like, we lived in like different areas of town. So it was like,
that in LA is a fucking bitch.
Right.
Yeah,
so we would like,
well, there.
Totally. So we would always hang out after rehearsal. And so like that was convenient. But, anyway, then eventually we all quit because like that band was ridiculous. And then I never saw them again.
Yeah, all right. That's real. The band ends, you KO. Bye. Deuces.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like, other than, of course, like college, of course, I had Friends of Necessity at times. I don't know. I didn't really feel like I had Friends of Necessity or Friends of Convenience like in high school, unless you would consider like every high school friend a friend of convenience because you're literally locked in a building together like all day, every day. But
I like that you're saying that, because that kind of brings me to a point that I do want to talk about, just about making friends inside of academia versus adulthood outside of school stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, go ahead, because I was just going to say that, like, I didn't really have to, like, find new friends in high school because my middle school fed directly into my high school and didn't receive any new people.
Yeah.
So I just, like, kept my friends and then, like, got also some new ones.
Totally. No, totally. And it's interesting to me because I think everyone can relate to this conversation, I think. We all talk about that it's so hard to make friends as an adult or after school.
Yeah.
And for some people, that's after college. And for some people, that's after high school. It just kind of depends on, you know, your path and what kind of academic thing you chase or don't.
Like, just once you're not in a classroom.
But once, once you're outside of academia, for some people, maybe it's after grad school, you know?
It, yeah,
like, happens
totally.
Even later. But we always say, oh, it's really hard to make friends as an adult. And then I thought to myself, kind of through this episode and in that statement, I went, wow, I talk about that with people all the time. It's part of reason one of my really good girls here in Chicago, she and I host a monthly babes night where we get a bunch of women together and we invite people from all sects of our life just to introduce people and let people hang and make friends, because it can be hard. And so it's a good way to like bring a bunch of people together that maybe wouldn't cross paths,
totally.
Which is awesome. But I thought to myself, I was like, wow, maybe that's because when you're in school, every friend is kind of a friend of convenience.
Yeah. Yeah. Because how do you make friends in school? Oh, you get thrown together on a group project and there's one person that you really like. Okay. Like, you're seated next to this person for a fucking semester. So like you giggle at the same things and realize that like you have some stuff in common. Like, yeah, it's just proximity and like for a long time.
For literal years.
You see that person that you didn't know before you were in history class together, like, more than you see your family sometimes.
100%. And when you get outside of school, it almost had me feel like, are you then forced, actually, for the first time in your life, to make even, I want to say, like, more real friends? Not that we don't make real friends in school. I mean, you and I know each other from when you moved onto the street in third grade. Mm-hmm. But if we had gone to different schools, I don't know that we would have ended up friends.
I don't know how we would have found each other.
I mean, you live four houses down across the street, but...
Oh, no, 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 no. So we would not have been friends because, like, just, like, in the neighborhood, because, like, I lived in the neighborhood for a little before I went to your school. I was, like, finishing the year, like, at my previous school. And, like, we were not friends.
We were not friends.
We hung out with, like, opposing groups of people.
Yeah.
And I... was a dick as a child, but
you were a horrible bully.
I was a horrible bully. I fully own that.
I love it about you.
But it was that we had like repeated exposure to each other, and like I got to see that like there was really not anything to dislike about you, and like I only saw you when like the boy that I hung out with was picking on you, and like that's not a great representation of anyone.
Right. I mean, fair. And I only saw you when you were with the kids that were mean to me. So I had bad preconceived notions. But I kind of like what you mentioned, that it's just having this exposure to someone being kind of a facilitator of friendships. And there's actually a name for this, not just in reference to people, but the mirror exposure effect.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're not familiar, the mirror exposure effect is the phenomenon where people develop a preference for a thing, or in this conversation case, a person, merely because they're around.
Yeah, this is supposedly why women rate the attractiveness of their own faces higher than the attractiveness of their own bodies, because we see our faces all the time, but our bodies are hidden.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's also why we think genitals are fucking weird.
Because we never see them. Yeah, dicks are kind of weird. I mean, I love them, but still. you know, it is, but it's, I mean, yeah, it's also, everybody I feel like always makes that joke that, you know, if we kept ears covered all the time, they'd look really bizarre.
I make that joke. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is just familiarity. And in social psychology, the effect is sometimes called familiarity principle. So okay.
To your point.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting because in the way that this is studied, just the more often that people, but also organisms and like all sorts of weird nuclear levels of things, just the more often you see, the more pleasing and likable, in this case, someone is.
That's
and
so interesting. It kind of boggles the mind. Really hard
consistency, but I think also if we think about newness and uncertainty that comes with that.
Yeah.
We don't typically have the same kind of comfort or affection for someone we're just meeting as we would someone that we've seen a bunch of times, even if we might have a greater propensity based on personality type, etc., to be close to the new person. And
But you've internalized feelings about someone you've seen a bunch of times because, like, there's memories associated with them, and there's, like emotional experiences that you probably attach to that person because you've been, like, physically around them when things were happening to you, even if you weren't talking very much. Like,
sure.
You have more of, like, a mental history about them.
Sure. And then there's also, on a very... evolutionary and self-preserving kind of level, anything new is a threat. You don't know intentions. If you think about, like, forget people, think about some sort of like insect or
bugs you've never seen before are the scariest fucking thing.
Absolutely.
When you see a new bug, fuck that.
Like, honestly terrifying, like foul help. But the more that you see that bug and the bug doesn't hurt you, the more you're like, oh,
it's, okay.
It's fine. I'm not scared anymore.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, okay. Like, there's that cute little bug I see all the time. Like, hey, cute little bug.
That thing I used to call a dinosaur bug. That's not so bad.
You're right. Like, so, I don't know, a weird kind of circumnavigating example, but the studies I read, they talked about even scientists studying little organisms that they would, you know, introduce some kind of stimuli and how the organism would be fearful of it and then would be less and less fearful. And then at some point, like whenever it was introduced, they'd be like, oh, hey, just because like they were like just more familiar. Then they were kind of like, oh, I like it when this thing comes around right. just because they were used to it.
Right. Oh, now it's time for this. Yeah.
Now it's time for that weird orange thing that you bring around every once in a while.
That makes me think of like all the plants I'm trying to repot and how they're like having a hard time acclimating to their like new environments.
Oh, little guys.
I know. I had to whisper to them.
That's good. You should name your plants and talk to them.
Yeah.
It's important. That said, though, it did make me think about in like a work setting how it's oftentimes we'll have that like preferred employee.
Mm-hmm.
And when I have that person I prefer to work with, it's usually because of two things. They don't suck at their job.
Like, that's
a barrier to entry for me. Like, I don't want to work with the person who makes it hard for me to, like, close the store or whatever it is I was doing.
No.
But then also, I end up growing some kind of affinity for whoever I'm working with the most.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And so I'm like, I like you because I'm with you the most.
Yeah.
I might like somebody else just as fine if I were with them more.
I once had a cook at a job tell me, after he was very mean to me on my second day, don't worry, I just hate new people. It'll be okay. And like 6 months later, we were totally cool. And he was like great to me. But like every new person that came in, he was just like very cold and just like shitty for a long time. And he would just like watch you. And then once he like understood you a little bit, he would like stop being shitty and talk to you.
I mean, I don't love
it's not
that.
Great.
It's kind of unbecoming.
Yeah.
But, and a pretty hyperbolic example of what we're talking about, because there are some definite jerk tendencies wrapped up in that one, I'm just going to say.
Definitely.
But, yeah, I don't know. It is intriguing to me, just someone being around more, making you like them more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and
it's
kids are like this with parents, too. Like, if you have a parent that, like, works at night who you don't see very much and, like, one parent who is, like, around a lot more, like, you have then, like, in moments
That's a great point.
Like, in moments of crisis, like, kids will choose, like, the more familiar parent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I mean, this makes sense
this
to me.
This makes me think of that.
Oh, yeah. Well, another thing it kind of got me thinking on is, so in the realm of friends of convenience, we mentioned, yeah, you have to cross paths with anyone to be their friend.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, friends of convenience, I think, are born out of being similar.
Mm.
So this kind of goes to the concept, like we kind of mentioned, of being less fearful of someone because you have a familiarity.
Mm-hmm.
But you're gonna start out with greater familiarity the more this person is like you. So
this is what college orientation was like in my small group.
Absolutely.
I watched people pair off with people that like looked or dressed similarly to them.
Totally. And I think, I mean, if we get even a little larger, we're saying, okay, you know, here are these friends of convenience in a college setting. But let's say we had friends of convenience maybe just because they were also in college.
Oh.
That's a larger thing. Like, not everyone goes to school past high school.
No.
And so you are already on more similar footing if you're doing that. As somebody who went to a private Catholic all girls, you can say that I ended up in a group of people who I wasn't raised Catholic, but was around a lot of people who were in like a Catholic bubble. But also then I'm going to say like white predominantly and upper middle class.
And that we're all in the Midwest.
Right.
In a mid-sized city.
And I'll say this, too. Whenever I meet people in Chicago who are from Ohio, I'm already like, oh, you're from Ohio? Like, hell yeah.
Yeah, like, I felt like that on the West Coast, too. I was like, oh, my God, you're from the Midwest.
You find some affinity there.
I can smell it on you.
Yeah. But I thought that was interesting, and I don't think necessarily a good thing, even though it can be what draws us to people in situations I think where we're scared or it's really unfamiliar, college orientation is a really good example because mm-hmm. you're kind of trying to tread water and you might be a little freaked out and you are looking for what is familiar and comfortable that I can cling on to.
Who do I maybe know how to talk to also?
Yeah, totally. But when I was kind of digging into similar friends, or we could even call friends of similarity. I just coined the term myself. You're welcome.
I like that.
Thank you. So friends of similarity, I came across when digging into that, this study, 2012, right?
Oh, yeah.
About 1,400 people. And in this group of 1,400 people, they had folks, I guess you'll say, that had friends of different races, different sexual orientations, and friends of different genders.
Mm-hmm.
But they also had people within that 1,400 that didn't have friends that were different than they were.
Oh, okay.
Which, I'm not going to lie, when I read that, I was like, how is that possible?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say too. But I guess it depends on where you live in the country too.
Yes, and depends on what you're exposed to. Depends on your school situation, depends on your socioeconomic situation, depends on your region, to your point. But I thought that was interesting. And I did try and scale it back and say, I was like, okay, I do know people in my life who have a less diverse friend group than me. So I could see how we could get there.
Yeah, so do I. Yeah.
And there are parts of my friend circle that I wish were more diverse in certain areas, for sure.
It would be cool.
It would be cool. So that said, in this study, that's kind of how they broke down these folks. People who had friends who were, quote unquote, different than them, again, based on race, orientation, gender, etc.,
mm-hmm.
and people who didn't really have friends who were different than them.
Yeah.
And if you had what they dubbed cross-category friendships, which I thought was kind of funny, you placed less of a value on having similar lives, values, and experiences, which, again, makes sense because, to me, things that you don't have and things that you do have, I think we place value on those things because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Both in kind of like morals and values ways. And also if you read interesting things about economics, you know, people believe certain assets are worth more money if they possess those assets than if they don't, which is always interesting.
That's
a whole nother episode.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother episode.
Yes, it is.
But that said, so these folks with the cross-category friendships, they're placing less emphasis on the importance of having similar lives, experiences, values as their friends.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, because they're not placing value on these similar experiences, lifestyles, etc.,
mm-hmm.
they're placing more of a focus on, the study said, trust, respect, honesty, and being there for each other, which are actual keystones of friendship.
So I hope that that's what that means, but that does seem like a pretty big jump to conclude.
Mm-hmm.
Without further questions.
Well, here's the thing. I'm just telling you the results of the study.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how they got there. I don't know how they asked these people like what their friend group was like. I don't know how they sussed out what was the most important in friendship. But I would imagine if I were to fictitiously brainstorm up what kind of questions you might be answering that could mm-hmm. get you to some of this data, you might be asking people to self-identify, their own race, their own orientation, sure. their gender, etc. And then you would be asking them about their friend group. Like, is your friend group, all girls, mostly boys, all boys, a mix.
Mm-hmm.
And then doing the same thing for other categories. And then I would imagine you would go through and say, how important is it to you
right.
that you share values or religious beliefs with your friend group? Mm-hmm. How important is it to you that you have similar socioeconomic backgrounds? How important is it to you that you guys had the same level of education?
Mm-hmm.
How important is is like trust to you and a friendship, whatever, and that perhaps the people whose friend group identifiers were more similar to their own were ranking things in a way that made it seem these other things were valued more. So I could see how the data could take you there.
Totally. And I would say, like, that really makes sense to me. And I, like, that's probably something that I would have, like, just, like, maybe in my head, like, assumed based on, like, the example I'm about to give. But, okay. like, in high school, like, I, like, had, like, a friend and then, like, another friend and their, like, moms were all friends.
Okay.
And, like, watching the mom friends interact was, like, so interesting because, like, a lot of them, like, knew each other from, like, high school and, like, their whole lives. And so, mm-hmm. like, had, like, grown up in the same town and then, like, married people who knew each other, stayed and, like, raised their kids there.
Yeah.
And, like, stayed friends.
Long shared history.
Long shared history. Same socioeconomic background. Everybody was white. And, like, I have never seen, like, a more tumultuous, like, catty group of women. Like, I used to wonder, oh, wow. like, why they would want to hang out with each other. Yeah, and we would, like, the children would talk about it and be like, I don't, oh my God, these moms. But it just makes me think, like, okay, like, it was very convenient for them to all, like, remain friends because they had this shared history and they have, like, memories and, like, their kids are growing up together and, like, they have so many similarities. But, like, personality-wise and, like, things on a deeper level, like, maybe not super compatible. So, like, when you said that trust is less of a value for people who value kind of, like, homogeny on paper in their friendships, like, that checks out when I think of, like, those moms. Like, they didn't trust each other for shit, but, like, they hung out every damn day.
Wow. That's poignant. Yeah. And we talk so much, I feel like, on this podcast in different topics about stages of life and the different things that we're doing, being 20s, 30s in our friend group, mm-hmm. that we're watching people get married and divorced and move in with significant others and break up with people and people having babies and people doing different things in their career or people who are doing grad school or just all sorts of different things, right? Mm-hmm. And there is that sense that sometimes we do feel the strain of when not having shared experiences, or also we really feel it, I think, in our 20s and 30s of, oh, some of my friends, you know, independently or their couple versus my couple or my single or whatever it is, mm-hmm. make a lot more money or a lot less money.
Yeah.
And then you're like, wow, okay, we're like not living the same life. And that can be stressful.
Mm-hmm.
And if your relationship is built on shared experiences and convenience, if you guys are pulled different ways in terms of relationships and families and how you hustle at your job and how lucrative your job is,
mm-hmm.
well, then those things aren't going to sustain you when that turns different.
Yeah, right.
If the biggest roots are that you have a shared history or that you are you know, able to do the same kinds of things and share in the same kind of experiences that your money, your privilege, whatever it is, facilitates for you,
mm-hmm.
cool. But if one of you can't do those things or you're in different life stages, it could pull you apart. And I bet for this group of moms that you're talking about watching as a kid, for as many of them as there were, maybe there were other people that were in their in that friend group with them who didn't get married at the same time or didn't have kids or had kids later, had kids earlier. And then if the root of what was keeping them together was shared experience and the convenience of that, there were people who probably fell off because it wasn't convenient because they weren't doing the same thing.
Totally. Mm. That's a good point.
And it was interesting to me, I think, across the board, because after I realize I should be calling these maybe, I don't know, friends of convenience instead of friends of necessity. And on my syntax journey, I, when I was searching about right? I love a Syntex journey. When I was searching Friends of Convenience, a lot of the things I came across on the internet in kind of a bloggy way were people kind of, I don't want to be dismissive, but I felt like people kind of woe is me-ing or talking about a struggle about a time that they felt like they were someone's friend of convenience rather than...
I barely even thought about that regards to this topic. For a moment I did, and I was like, oh, that's like maybe an interesting side note.
It was so interesting, and I think it's interesting that you're saying that because oftentimes, if you're tuning in and this is your first episode, Jamie and I frequently disagree about everything. We just have the same sense of humor, and that's what works. We often frequently do not have the same opinions.
We have similar moral experiences.
We have similar morals and values, but like we think about things real different.
Yeah.
And we get to our shared values from really different places too.
Sure.
Okay. So it's interesting to me that you're saying that because when I started reading this stuff where all these people were like, yeah, it just like really sucks, like et cetera, et cetera. You know, when you think you're really good friends with somebody, but then you're not because you're just this convenient person for them and they're not really there for you and shit's crappy. And I went, whoa, that is so not something that was in my head when I started researching this episode. And then I felt kind of bad about that. I don't know. It made me feel goofy.
Because I think that I wasn't thinking about Friends of Necessity as, like, who has wronged me. I thought about it, like, when have I maybe been a shitty person and, like, used someone a little bit? So, like, I don't think it's shitty to not have thought, like, about being a friend of convenience or friend of necessity. Because I think, like, that is, like, the woe is me moment. And, like, it's, like, taking responsibility for your actions to be, like, I've done this to other people. And, like, yeah, people have probably done it to me. But, like, most of the times that it happened to me, like, they were a friend of convenience or necessity for me as well. Like, those people from orientation and stuff. Like, I wasn't mad when they didn't invite me to a party because I didn't want to go.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, my takeaway when I think about the people that I huddled around at the beginning of high school and I didn't know anyone, and I huddled around at the beginning of college when I didn't know anyone. I went, well, fuck, we were all doing the same thing. We were all huddling around each other and trying to find our tribe. And some of those people who huddled to each other initially ended up really good friends, and other ones didn't. And there wasn't bad blood about that. So when I came to this as a topic, I really didn't have negative feelings about it at all because I was like, yeah, this is like a thing we all do as humans when we're, you know, seeking companionship, and sometimes you try and align yourself with the people that are convenient.
Mm-hmm. And like, they thought it was interesting too. Though. Like, it's relationships of any kind are a two-way street. So like, I think that if someone feels like really wronged about like being a friend of convenience or necessity, like, yes, that could be like their feelings could be like totally valid. Like maybe they did get fucked over by someone who like used them because like they needed a couch to sleep on or like wanted to like use your yacht or something. Like that's pretty shitty. But I think most of the time, like friends of convenience that like kind of just drift apart, like, you both needed something, and, like, then you moved on, and that has to be okay.
Yeah, I mean...
Only when you're using someone for their yacht, really, is it shitty.
Yeah, although,
or
like...
for their drugs,
did, like, how
or their
nice
connections,
is the yacht?
I suppose.
Okay. I'm kidding. Jeez. Yeah, I mean, using people is shitty, but I guess I don't clock...
That's different than a friend of convenience, I feel like. That's just being like a manipulative
cunt. I feel that way too.
Oh, I said the C word on the show. Is that okay?
What did you just say about cunts?
I said that's not a friend of convenience. That's just someone being a manipulative cunt. And then I got worried about saying that on the show.
I feel like we should bring it. I want to... This is a whole nother episode, but I would love for ladies to reclaim the cunt like we reclaimed the bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't
like
it.
You know, because when your girlfriend says, like, that's my bitch, like, it's awesome. Like, that's a nice thing when a GF says that.
Yes.
But, like...
No. I think cunt is fine.
I'm listen.
We can say it because we have.
Yeah, I'm open to it. Yeah, I'm here for it. I don't want a man to call me a cunt, though. I don't listen, this want is a whole that. Other episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't clock friends of convenience and or necessity as a negative experience or a manipulative using. I looked at it as a, I don't know, those weird kind
it's
of
like
social
a shallow
experiments.
Friendship.
Yeah. But sometimes they blossom into great things and you start out like hanging out just because.
It can go beyond, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't have bad vibes about friends of convenience.
I really
generally.
Don't either.
But the internet does.
Well, people can get upset about anything.
It's true. But I to bring it back, and maybe it's how we're using this term, and maybe some other folks are spinning it a little differently. The Urban Dictionary, kind of one of the top definitions of a friend of convenience, or an FOC, they said was someone that you hang with when you're bored or you have nothing better to do.
Oh, it's like your bottom barrel friend. Like, you don't want to go drink alone, but you're like, who should I? I guess Megan will drink with me. I'm not talking about any particular Megans who know me that are listening. I'm not talking about you. It's just a name that a lot of people have.
Right. So that said, that feels shittier, and I acknowledge that that feels shittier and maybe feels a little different from what we're talking about, because nobody wants to be the friend that you feel like nobody wants to hang out with. Like, that sucks.
And nobody wants a copy-pasted you up text, because that's the same deal there. Nobody wants to be last picked.
Nobody wants to be picked last, and people want real friends whose input matters. So for me, the friend of convenience, when I said at the beginning, input is not necessarily valued, your friend of convenience is maybe somebody that they're around, but you haven't formed the bond yet, and or maybe you never will, or maybe you will, that they're somebody you want to turn to for their opinion when you have a big decision, or you're really interested in what their thoughts are on, you know, a large issue or something that feels stressful in your life. And I think the other big takeaway that could be kind of a friend of convenient phase for me when I was thinking about this was when it's someone who your level of closeness makes you feel that if there is drama or something like tough going on in their life, it's inconvenient. Because when something bad happens to a friend I really care about, it's not inconvenient. It's like what your friend's for.
Right.
Is to be with people when shit sucks.
And that seems to be kind of maybe what the internet people were upset about, was like when people that you think that you're close to then are like not supportive.
Yes.
Well, that's then unfortunately, definitely. You have offset perceptions of your closeness.
Yeah, and I think that was
or that
some
person's
of
just
and
super unsupportive.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they just suck. I don't know. Yeah. But those are my larger takeaways. Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about with convenience and friendship and
just the flip of like, have I ever been a friend of necessity?
Do you think you have ever been a friend of necessity to someone? I think I have been a friend of necessity to the same people that were friends of necessity to me. Do you think you've had larger?
I don't ever feel really like used by a friend of convenience. No, I honestly like I really feel like those were convenient two-way streets.
Yeah, and I think I do too, and for the ones in my life. But clearly from things that I read, that's not everyone's experience.
Everyone does not feel that way. Yeah.
No.
You can tell
and
us.
And it does suck when you feel like a bond or your relationship with a person is more important to you than it is to them. That is a really bad feeling, and be it romantic or platonic.
For sure. And you and I have talked before about kind of the weirdness of when maybe you are higher or lower on someone's friend list than they are on yours.
Yeah.
And maybe that can be a friends of convenience thing. Like, in moving to a new place, like, I think it's pretty common for people to, like, latch on really hard to someone that they know in that new place, but then maybe not.
Yeah, the person who is new needs the more established people more than they need the new person.
Right. So in that way, I guess, for the person who lived there already, who is, like, having dinner twice a week with this, like, person who recently moved, might feel used later when they no longer see each other because that, like, transplant person has made friends.
Mm.
So I could see that, but I don't know.
That's honest. Yeah, that could make you feel weird. And I think sometimes it goes to the competitive nature in folks and in relationships of, you know, we were friends first, or why are you closer to this person that I introduced you to than you are to me now? And that can be hard.
Yeah, that is really hard. I don't feel any of that in my adult life, which is fantastic. But definitely, mm-hmm. like, in college, like, that was a tense thing, I feel like.
Yeah. Now, here's the question that I feel like kind of harkens to our academia, and do you actually just have to make real friends when you're an adult? Finally, you're doing it, and none of it for the same convenience. Could you count on more than two hands, so 10, people that you have sustained relationships with from high school or college?
Like, are there...
That they're, like, good friends, that someone you talk to regularly from high school or college. More, do you have more than two hands worth of that? Because I absolutely don't.
I think so.
Do you?
Hold on. Give me 1 second. Maybe not if I don't count those people's significant others.
Okay. Yeah, because you can't count. I don't think you can count the people who got dated in or married in.
Then hold on. No, it's like 8.
Yeah. I think that's worth saying. You think about all the people you meet throughout high school, all the people you meet throughout college. And I mean, we're out of college here for a minute, but we're in the scheme of life, we're not that far removed.
No,
and
no.
I do feel like, wow, you know, maybe the way that I see the narrative spun on TV or in the movies or whatever, I would have thought I would have rolled out of that with different vibes, but I really have, like, a little pocket of people who I've remained friends with from, like, childhood or high school, mm-hmm. and then a little pocket of people from college, and collectively, the reels are, yeah, it's definitely under 10.
Yeah, yeah. No, me too. But those were, like, then... Those were the people that I had, like, the most in common with on, like, a deeper level. Like,
yeah.
And even, like, one of my friends from college is, she's a nurse and she lives in Dayton, which is, like, an hour north of Cincinnati. And, like, we still, like, see each other, like, every couple months. Like, I go up there or, like, she comes here and, like, we hang out or we'll, like, talk on the phone. And like we have nothing in common, like in our lives on paper, like not a single thing. Our schedules are completely different. Our jobs are super different. Like our lifestyles, everything, but just like something about her, I really like, and we get along really well and we have a great time together. And I like care about what's going on with her and vice versa. And so like,
that's those special are the people. And really sweet.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, like, nothing about that friendship is convenient.
Yeah.
And so, like, those, when I think about, like, the people that I still talk to from college and from high school, like, it is the people who, like, maybe I don't have tons in common with them on paper right now or ever, but it's the people who, like, I can talk to them for, like, 3 hours. Or we cannot talk for months and then talk for 3 hours.
Yeah. That's always the... I think that's the most special. And those are the things to really rejoice in. And maybe all the friends who are convenient for a minute are the homies that make you appreciate the people that you would seek outside of convenience. And I'll say, like, shit, man, nothing about our friendship's convenient.
True, true.
Like, nothing, and it hasn't been for years. I don't think our relationship has been convenient since eighth grade.
Right. No, it hasn't. That's funny.
And here we fucking are.
Yeah. Here we are, forcing it to work through technology. Sometimes.
Sometimes. Okay, well, in classic Why Are You Like This fashion, cue the fucking vibraphone. Okay, so tonight, in the spirit of friendship and convenience, I thought we could give each other some would-you-rather situations.
Most definitely.
Okay, so we talked about friendships of convenience, and we juxtaposed them with friendships that you feel like we connect with the folks on a deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather have infinite fun nights and short relationships / encounters for forever? You connect with all sorts of people briefly, surface level, for eternity. No lack of newness, abundance, right?
Mm-hmm.
All convenient. Or would you rather have just one deeper friendship, not convenient, nobody else? You can, in both of these situations, you're granted the ability to date or be in a long-term relationship and have a partner that's outside of your friend.
Okay. Okay.
I think that's important to say.
That is important. I think I would definitely choose to just have one friend.
I think I would, too. I think it's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah. Like, it would be hard to not, like, have new, like, relationships or experiences, like, even just surface level. Like,
I agree,
because that's so, like, can be, like, so creatively, like, fueling. Like, meeting new people, like opens up your brain, you know.
It's the spice of life. It's how you learn, it's how you grow. Yeah.
So to not have that would be really tough, but I would feel like so afloat and unstable if I didn't have, like, at least one, like, long-term friend who I felt like we had, like, supported each other for a long time.
Yeah, I would absolutely make the same decision.
Yeah, I have to.
But it's, both are just, I mean, both are not great.
Both are not great.
And we talk so much sometimes about how important it is to have different friends to, you know, do different things with and enjoy. I don't know.
But I like doing some stuff by myself. If I could be married and have also one other friend, like, I don't know, things would be okay.
It'd be okay. It wouldn't be great.
It wouldn't be ideal. But like,
yeah, it wouldn't be our first choice, okay? Yeah. But yeah, I totally agree with you. I'd do the same thing.
Okay, so I have a would you rather for you as well, or I have more than one, but mm-hmm. So mine are... These are people who would be perhaps your friends of convenience in the situation I'm going to describe. So I want you to imagine that friend of convenience. And then choose which of the two you integrate into a long-term friend. So
I'm going to get, like, two friends of convenience, and I'm going to pick which one I'm rolling hard with.
Correct.
Cool. Okay.
So the first choice is the person you hung out with on a cruise with your grandparents because they were the only person that was your age.
Oh my God. I love this scenario. Okay.
Or your bestie from Driver's Ed. So, like, the only other kid in the room that you liked. Kind of.
Bestie from Driver's Ed.
That's your choice?
Yeah.
I might pick the cruise person. I don't, like, why are you on a cruise with your grandparents? Why am I on a cruise with my grandparents?
I don't know. I mean, I kind of love that journey. I will say, as a kid, I did have vacation friends.
That happens. People get vacation friends, and I think it's really cute. Yeah. And there's a cute episode of The Simpsons where Lisa makes cool vacation friends.
Oh.
And then Bart outs her as uncool, but they love her anyway.
Listen, Bart, don't fuck with Lisa Simpson.
This is a great example of a friend of convenience, but maybe actually a real friend. Because when Lisa gets outed as a nerd to her, quote, cool friends, because she was, like, trying to dress cool and, like, to act like she wasn't smart, They got upset because she like lied to them, but then they came back the next day and like were talking about all the things she had taught them and that they really liked her, and they made her this like artwork in the sand. It was very sweet.
I fucking love The Simpsons and I love Lisa Simpson, and it like fucking stresses me out. Yeah. God. I just think I would have made a friend in Driver's Ed because we would have thought the same shit was funny, because there's so much that's funny about Driver's Ed, and humor is one of my values. So I feel like that person would be a fucking real one.
No, that's a good, really good point.
Humor is a value. Look it up. Or call my therapist. It's fine.
Susan.
That's not her name.
I know. Okay, do you have another one?
Oh, yeah. My turn, right? I was like, just like sitting pretty over here. I was like, yeah, I love Driver's Ed. Okay. Would you rather, this is your present day, like you right now, would you rather have a friend group composed only of all of your convenient friends throughout like school? Or would you rather have a friend group composed only of all your convenient friends from only jobs that you've had?
Jobs.
Okay, cool. Why?
Because I had some pretty dope convenient friends at jobs that turned into like real friends. And even like some of the convenient friends I've had at jobs, like, I like more and are a more varied group of people than my school convenient friends.
I like that.
Yeah, I get more. I don't know. I get like more interesting people if I choose jobs.
I respect that. I like that. I like that you kind of have more of like a smorgasbord that way, which, again, spice of life. I think I would actually choose the opposite in this situation, but I think it's indicative of our work history.
Yes, yes, it probably is, yes.
Because out of school, I can think of, like, I actually have, like, a really good core group of some homies that I'm still very close with, a lot of them, that were people I worked with when I was in college. But in terms of every job I've had outside of college, I was initially, like, in managerial situations that I didn't really feel like fostered me to have the ability to be real friends with anyone because I didn't have a lot of peers. And then,
and like, your professionalism requirements are, like, much higher than, like, if you're a server. So, like, I get to, like, jive with people in a way that you didn't really ever.
Well, I mean, I would just, I agree with that. But, and I think people in retail absolutely do that, which is what I was living in for most of my time out of school up until more recently. And that said, I was always the manager. So if you think about the manager wherever you've served, like, they're not friends with the rest of the servers. And I didn't ever feel like I was in a situation to get to be, like, really good friends with
people. Yeah.
Like, I have a handful of people that I felt like I was good friends with, but it just, because of work roles, it feels like a smaller little sec.
Yeah, totally.
But I guess now as I'm saying that and reflecting on certain roles, I'm like, oh, but there were some real, real deep homies in there too.
Deep homies from school, but... Oh, hopefully in that answer I get to keep all my, like, real friends that I made at school, but anyway...
I don't know, man. Listen, this is your social circle of convenient friends from one sect of your life. Yeah, I think I pick school, though, because I think I do have more people who were school homies that turned into real homies for longer windows of time. And I have more real homies from school that started out as convenience that have seen the test of time, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, I have both standing the test of time, so I feel uncomfortable about my answer, but I already said it, so.
I have a few from work. Not a ton, but a few.
Of course. Everyone. I mean, hopefully everyone has a few here and there. But last question of the night. You don't have any more after this, right?
Right.
Okay, so the last would you rather, same format as my last question. So these are two situational friends of convenience. You have to choose which one you hang out with forever. So the first is the girl who gets you deals at your favorite retailer in exchange for listening to her family drama at the checkout and while you're shopping.
I will say, the way this started, I was like, I was that girl, but I was listening to my customer's family drama. So
exactly.
It's a little different.
Totally, totally different.
Totes different. But also, like, okay, like, I know the type. I love that. Listen, I used to help people hook it up. Okay. So I have a picture in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Or the bartender who never charges you because you give him feedback on his metal band's demo tapes.
Oh,
so
my God.
You have, like, a permanently, like, free tab there, but, like, you're having to, like, always listen to a metal CD and be like, yeah, man, I liked, like, this about this track.
Well, that's the thing is, what you have asked me is, am I more into listening to metal or listening to someone's family drama? And truly,
are they different?
Moderately open to soap operas. So I really don't like metal. So yeah, I think I would go with the retail chick, even though I think initially, I was maybe leaning the bartender, but then you said metal and I was just full out.
Tough.
So I'm going with retail hookup family drama ear, because that just sounds like a more fun conversation to me. And I know, like, how to talk about interpersonal stuff. I don't know how to talk about metal. So
Yeah. I don't know what I would choose. And I mean, in a shitty way, I'm not really looking at this as what these people are like. I'm kind of thinking, like, would I prefer, like, a free bar tab or, like, really cheap clothing?
Because do you find both of the situations, like, awful?
Yes.
See, I'm oddly less bothered by someone, like, oversharing behind a cash register.
If I could find a way to, like, follow the story and be interested, I don't know, maybe then.
Well, I could see how she would think in this situation that, like, maybe I could be here for that. I don't know how this dude would get the impression that I gave a fuck about metal. So it seems less socially aware to me, the metalhead.
Fair. Okay. Yeah. Huh. It's super inappropriate to talk about your personal drama to guests or customers, like, when you're at a job, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's really
it's
not
wildly inappropriate.
Like, wildly inappropriate. But, you know.
That's so uncomfortable when a cashier starts, like, when you do, like, the how are you moment, and they won't just, like, follow along and say good, but they, like, tell you about everything that's going on and how they have to pick up their son early but they can't get off work because, like, someone can't come in for
happen.
A swing shift.
Oh, no. I'm crawling out of my skin because I'm like, this is real.
Mm. You're just like, sell me my Reese's. Like,
just like, listen, honey. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well.
Don't love that, but hey, it's okay.
Don't love it.
I'm not here for
so,
your
I'm
convenience
sorry, did you give a
in
final
this convenience
answer?
Store.
Did you choose the bar tab or the clothes? What motivated? Okay.
I'm choosing the clothes because I could find a way to be interested in the drama eventually. I would get more and more burned out on the metal and more interested in the drama, I think.
I agree. I full-heartedly agree. I would be like, now you tell me what's going on with Sandra this week.
It could turn into that.
Is she still seeing, like, Ramon? Is that still going on? I would be so invested.
I actually could see then being like, when is your shift over? Because, like, we could meet at the Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, my God. We could go to the Cheesecake Factory at the other, like, wing of the mall. And
right?
You could, like, lay this down. I'm going to get an order of lettuce wraps and, like, lay it down. What is your
now
cousin
it sounds
doing,
really fun.
Fucking Vinny? I, like, listen, I told you he was a player. Was I wrong? Okay.
It's like Real Housewives and cheap clothes all in one. Okay, this is really ideal. We need to find her.
Listen, y'all, if you want to meet us at the Cheesecake Factory this week, we can have that arranged.
We could.
And you can let us know. You can sound off on the Cheesecake Factory. When I'm forced to eat there, I get the lettuce wraps. What's your order? Let us know on the internet, as usual. On Instagram at whyareyoulikethispod, via email at whyareyoulikethispod@gmail.com, and on the Twitter at WAYLTTweets. Let us know about your family drama, but absolutely not about your metal band.
No, I'm sorry. Good night.
Sorry. Bye.